So good to see you in the Lord's house today. We welcome you to Grace Bible Church. In our call to worship today, I wanted to share just a few verses from Matthew chapter 14 relative to the feeding of what is known as the 5,000. Verse 15 says, "And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, 'This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals.' But Jesus said unto them, 'They need not depart. Give ye them to eat.' And they say unto him, 'We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them hither to me."" Last week I kind of alluded to a truth that I think needs to be proclaimed today, especially in light of our materialistic viewpoints today, that as Christians, you and I have to be willing for God to be able to touch us and to redirect assets when He needs them. Worship has some demands. When you worship God, God has some demands. He requires that you be willing to sacrifice for Him. Here was a little boy, and we're told this in the book of Mark, who was approached by the disciples and said, "The Lord Jesus has need of your lunch." Now, I know growing up, I was very protective about my lunches that I brought to school. I had a Blondie lunch pail box in my early years. Then I went to Rough Riders, and then I went to a mailbox-style lunchbox, the old construction type, and it was usually packed. My mom was very good about lunches, and I was very protective of my lunch. And my mom had told me, "Now listen, people are going to try to talk you out of your lunch." They were always trying to talk you out of your lunch, you know.
"Hey, let's trade."
You know, and they would give you something that they didn't like, and you would look through your stuff saying, "Now, what do I not like in mine?" And you'd try to do some kind of a trade or so forth like that. But here was this young boy whose mom had prepared a lunch for him, not for 5,000 people. And it is amazing to me, as I've looked over this over and over again and read the different parallel passages, isn't it interesting that nobody else's lunch was claimed? It's hard to believe that nobody else brought a lunch. But one mother prepared a lunch for her son, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus said, "Don't send them away. Don't send them away. Bring what you have." What He was calling for was what? "Direct the assets that are out there to me, and I will take care of the multitudes." And He made this demand of a young boy. Now think about that. Think about that. He didn't go to the adults. He didn't go to the grandparents that were there who probably had brought. He went to a child and he said, we have need of that. And by the way, in the very next chapter, there's a feeding of the 4,000. That did not include the children. And there were 7 loaves found and a few fishes, the Bible says. So God redirected the assets of somebody else that brought their lunch. They're unnamed in the Bible. But God required that and said, "I want you to give that to me, and then I'm going to take it." And in both cases, the Bible says that there was extra taken up. 12 baskets in the first situation, 7 baskets in Matthew 15 of meat alone was recollected from what God did. And I just wrote down a few things here. Listen carefully. A lad was given 5 loaves and 2 fishes by his mother, and God redirected those assets to feed over 10,000 people. In Matthew 15, we have the recording of 4,000 people. In addition, there were women and children. 7 loaves were found and a few fishes among the people. And Jesus multiplied that and fed all of them. Peter had a boat on the Sea of Galilee. And God required him to redirect that asset so Jesus could use it on several occasions, by the way. We know of at least 3 occasions where Peter's boat was used. Now, he bought it for fishing. But what did Jesus use it for? For opportunities to teach and to proclaim His Word. All right? How about Mary and her alabaster box? What did she bought that for? Oh, that was something deeply personal. More than likely, it was going to be used at the time of her passing to anoint her body with all of those ointments. And yet, what did Jesus require of her? That those assets be redirected for His honor and for His glory. What else? How about the tomb? A tomb that had been carved out and made specifically for a man, for his burial. And yet, what did Jesus require that tomb be used for His? Now, He only needed it for 3 days. Okay? He only needed it. But he required that. Listen, when you worship God, God has requirements. He has given to you, and he wants to be able to speak to you at any moment and say, hey, I need the use of this. And there not be a lot of fussing and kicking and squabbling. Lord, don't take that. Why don't you use this? This is a little used. This one's too new. I don't want you to use that. I remember one time, this was a few years ago, that I had a mom that called me up on the phone and said, My boy is coming home, and he's telling me that he's giving his lunch away, and I want it stopped. So I went to the lunchroom that day, and I walked in there, and I just kind of watched to see what was happening. And I noticed that one of the children was just sitting there, no lunch. I don't know how it got lost in the translation or what was happening, but nobody had noticed that there was a child sitting there without a lunch. And that boy was going and sitting down beside that child and sharing his lunch. I called the mother back. I said, we're going to take care of this child, but I just wanted you to know you'd be proud of your son. Your son was sitting beside a child that needed a lunch, and he was sharing his lunch with them. That's what was taking place. Now you say, well, that was just a little child. Can Jesus do that with you? Whenever there's a need, or does he have to keep thumping you on the head over and over again? Come on now. Come on now. Be willing to redirect some of those assets to my glory. And it doesn't have to be money. You may not have a lot of money, but you may have something that God can read. That is when you begin to connect in worship. Because then you realize who's the owner of all things. And then you begin realizing that He is worthy of everything that I possess. And so if He speaks to me, I can say, yes, Lord, I can direct whatever you need and for however long you need it. May God help us as we worship today. May we just not think, well, I sang the songs and I bowed my head when we prayed and I turned in my Bible. I must have worshiped. Maybe not. Maybe not. Could God speak to your heart and touch your life and you respond positively in whatever area that He requires? That's how you know whether you're worshiping or not. If God can speak and you move when He speaks, may God help us to have that kind of spirit and attitude.